Genesis chapter 46, Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 1, and Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. You know, Jacob needs to talk to God about this Egypt thing. You remember, his grandfather Abraham and also his father Isaac got in big trouble when they left the promised land to escape the famine in their time. And that is in essence what Jacob is doing. So he definitely wants to see Joseph, but not if it means disobeying God. He's going to pray and he's going to worship God. And he's going to wait to hear from God. He knows that what he wants is irrelevant if it isn't what God wants. And it's the same with us. Our desires must always be secondary to the Word of God. And that's why the best thing to do when you don't know what to do is spend time with God. If we honestly seek him, then he will show us what we need to know. Verse 2, and God spoke to Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. You know, Jacob took the time to speak to God, and now God speaks to Jacob. And if we speak to God, he will speak to us. Most of the time he doesn't do it in an audible voice, but through his spirit. And by his word, and maybe sometimes through circumstances, by his providence. 3, and he said, I am God, the God of your father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of you a great nation. And this is what Jacob wanted to hear. God says, it's my will for you to go to Egypt. It's my will for you to see Joseph. So it turns out that God was leading Jacob and his family all along. He was leading through the circumstances of their life all along. And most of the time, God leads through the circumstances he allows into our lives. In other words, he leads by his providence. Sometimes maybe we wish that God would drop a roadmap from heaven, or put up neon signs along our path to make it easier to follow his leading. But God doesn't need roadmaps or neon signs because he's in control of circumstances. And if we stay close to him, we will respond to those circumstances the way he wants us to. And by that, he leads us. 4. God says, I will go down with you into Egypt, and I will also surely bring you up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon your eyes. God promises Jacob that Joseph will be with him until the day he dies. They will never be separated again as long as Jacob lives. Verse 5. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father and their little ones and their wives in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took their cattle and their goods, which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him. So they didn't have to bring their possessions, but they did anyway. What do you call those people that can't throw things away? Maybe they don't call them anything. I don't know. But I'm definitely not one of them. I don't have any problem. When I move, I clean house. But evidently, Jacob and sons had a hard time getting rid of things. And that's okay. They're headed for Egypt. And things are looking up. And the rest of this chapter just gives us the names of the offspring of Jacob that went down to Egypt with him. So Let's skip down to, let's see, verse 27. And the sons of Joseph, which were born to him in Egypt, were two souls. All the souls of the house of Jacob, which came to Egypt, were 70. So 70 came to Egypt. And then verse 28, and he sent Judah before him to Joseph to direct his face to Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen. And that's exactly where God wanted them to be, separate from the Egyptians and their idolatry. This is where they could grow into a nation and serve their God, isolated from the influence of the idolatry in Egypt. Verse 29, and Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself to him. And he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. And this is one of those situations that cannot be described and shouldn't even try to, because it just is what it is. You say anything to this other than what the Bible says, and you've ruined it. 30. And Israel said to Joseph, now let me die, since I have seen your face, because you are yet alive. Jacob is saying, I can't believe my blessing here. It's more than I ever thought that I would ever receive in my entire life. He was so happy. This is the pinnacle for him. Verse 31. And Joseph said to his brethren and to his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh and say to him, my brethren and my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come to me. I'm going to go announce your arrival to the king of Egypt. And Joseph is going to prepare his family to meet him. 32. He's going to say, and the men are shepherds, for their trade has been to feed cattle. And they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. And it shall come to pass, when Pharaoh shall call you, and shall say, what is your occupation? That you shall say, your servant's trade has been about cattle from our youth even until now, both we and also our fathers, that you may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians. The Egyptians didn't want anything to do with shepherds. So this would be a perfect place, Goshen. They would tend their sheep. The Egyptians would leave them alone. Hopefully they'll leave the Egyptians alone, and they will become a nation within a nation, exactly the way God wanted it to be. This right here, the land of Goshen in Egypt, where there's plenty of food, plenty of water, will become the incubator of the nation Israel.